This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
For today's Daylight magazine, we have Your Bible and You, Youth Corner, and Moment of Truth. I'm your presenter, Emanuela Brefumenta, welcoming you to today's magazine. Stay tuned.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is now time for your Bible and you.
For our reflections, we shall look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 to 24.
To the woman he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.
To Adam he said,
because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return.
Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. And the Lord God said,
The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.
So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove them out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life.
Just listened to the audio version of Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 to 24. Keep this in your heart.
AWR, Voice of Hope, we will bring you joy. Keep hope alive.
Brace yourself for our next segment, Youth Corner.
We must lay beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I leave you all. So afraid that you will not be found. It won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me, I leave you all.
Welcome to another edition of Youth Corner. We are continuing with our discussion on teenage pregnancy. Lord Lugard Webu, Samuel Sabre from Point Ato Banfo Jr. have been with me throughout the entire discussion. They are here once more. My name is Afre Nuyama Keke. I'll be your host for today's edition of Youth Corner. Welcome once again and finally to the concluding part of the discussion on teenage pregnancy. Lord Samuel and Ato, we ended off by looking at the effects on the church. You said, Lord, that it would bring some sort of scorn and ridicule to the church. Let me come to someone as well. How does teenage pregnancy affect the church, especially when members within it fold, become victims?
The main purpose of every Christian is to go to the world to give the gospel, win souls for Christ, for the second coming of Christ, to be quickened. And in a church where you are preparing to go out to preach, you're going to give a message to the world. Definitely, you are going to talk to people about things that are wrong in the society, that if they change from, they can get salvation. And in that church, you have teenage girls going around pregnant. What message can you send out? Mm. When you go, society will not even accept you. Aside the fact of even the normal ridicule. In fact, before you step your foot in that house, they started driving you away. They will start at the entrance. You are not even fit to even come to talk to them. Because there's an adage in the local language in Chi, Ghana, that you can't clear what is in somebody's eye whilst you have the same thing in yours or on yours. So before you can do that, the thing in your eye, you have to remove it. When you remove the speck, then you can go to another person to do this for him. So whilst you can't clean your home, you can't tell somebody to clean his house. So in the house of God where this thing is going on, going out to forgive the gospel will be very difficult.
So within that context, a teenager who gets pregnant or gets another teenager pregnant will lack the moral authority to
go out and forgive the gospel.
Propagate the word of God. That's one of the effects of teenage pregnancy on the church. Let me take your view as well. After then, we'll look at the prevention.
Well, in talking about the effect on the church, I also think that it sends some signals of failure and disappointment to the church leaders. They have actually made programs, or some of them are purported to have been guiding the youth in the church. If such incidents happen, they go back and say, like, where did we go wrong? How come we never did our job well? Imagine if the daughter of an elder or a pastor or a church leader. You see all that's going to bring about. It's now going to end up in what my panelists have all said about the church not being able to hold its head high as an exemplary body, and the youth in the church could not be called upon as models for other youth in the town or society to copy from. So it actually has some effect on the church. The church leaders get disappointed, confused, and they get dejected.
Let's come finally to how teenage pregnancy can be prevented. But just before we go, I want you to share your views on this particular matter. Some people think that since the church has tried to use their morality arguments for a long time, it seems not to be working, seemingly so. Why don't we encourage the use of contraceptives like condom and so on to prevent it totally?
Okay, that is actually a no-go area for a church, especially a Bible-believing church where fornication is forbidden. Mark 10:7 says that a man should leave the parents' house and cleave unto his wife. And we have already drawn that distinction between a man and a boy, and a woman that becomes a wife, and a girl. Now, what happens also is sometimes it's not actually the will of the girl or the adventure or the curiosity, but some girls are raped. It's a very important aspect that we are leaving out here. Bringing that to the fore, imagine a girl has been raped. How can you tell the girl that when you are walking around, hold condoms in your bag or your pocket, so that if somebody is coming to rape you, you give the condoms to the person, or take contraceptives for preventive measures, like the 10 virgins, the 5 wise virgins who had extra lamp, so that whenever you don't know and somebody pounces on you, you're already protected from teenage pregnancy. It's a no-go area. We can't just do that.
Let's look at the prevention then. How we can prevent teenage pregnancy in all those instances, even with the example
actually doing the same, okay, in trying to do the smooth transition. I'm going to start from people who are raped. Another cause of teenage pregnancy, major cause, is this rape thing. So it could be prevented if people who have been convicted, who have been testified against, who are already culprits of this one, the perpetrators of this rape crime, should actually be punished
seriously.
Mm. So punishment for perpetrators. Punishment,
prosecution.
Mm. To serve as deterrence, reformation.
Exactly. Then after that, extensive sex education should be given to these kids in the school, in the homes, parents, society, all these other factors of the socialization. We also have good role models that ladies can look up to, who can come and give testimonies of they going to school, making it before they got married. And then I might also say that for contraceptives, it's a no-go area, because why should you use contraceptives when you are married and you have planned how you should give birth? As a young girl and a young boy, you don't need contraceptives. It should either be for married men who are planning their family. That's the only way.
So
abstinence, according to me, the best prevention.
Okay. So abstinence, the best prevention of the ABC method. Let me come to you, Lord, on how you think teenage pregnancy can be prevented.
Okay. The very first that I want to speak about it, the fact that we need to plan our families. If you plan your family, you wouldn't have children that you will be left at the mercy of the weather or the society that are very vulnerable with no security. Some of these things happen because some parents can't take full control over their kids.
Okay.
Lack of parental control.
So there should be more parental guidance, control.
As a matter of well-planned families. And then we have sex education, as he spoke about. And then the very best of them all is instilling godly discipline, instilling godliness in our children. That is the ultimate. Even though things may go bad certain times, but that is the ultimate. That alone. It's a habit that you've implanted in a child or your children. Then these things are not bound to happen often.
Okay. Let me come to you finally, Samuel, on the prevention.
On prevention, I would say the scripture gives us a practical example. Train up the child the way he should go. And where he goes, he will not depart.
What about the raped?
The rape incident, that is an exception. Mm-hmm. That one, you have no option. You can't prevent it.
How do you deal with that? Because some girls are also raped out of ignorance, entering their teacher's room when they would be vulnerable.
The best preventive measure is what my brother had to give, that those who are perpetrators to it are punished severely to serve as a deterrent to the others. For rape, you can't do anything about
so
it.
Teaching, you just have to. Bringing up children in the word of God, also punishing perpetrators in the case of rape, and then...
And finally, I will say that religious and moral education should be intensified in our institutions from the lower primary to the senior level. It should be intensified so that during that period where teachers are supposed to teach them the religious part, they should add that part, sex education, into it. Sometimes they think that when you are talking about sex, then you are not religious. But when we add those things to it... Then
at what age can sex education start?
I would say that from the age of even one, you should start, let the child know the parts of the body. When we are doing that, sometimes when we get down there and we say this one, then kakai. We give it a name. Yes, I remember when I was a kid, they were talking about kakai and other things. You have to let the child know that this is it. This is the name. And when you play with it at this time, this is what will happen. And they will learn from that stage. And when they grow, as I said, you train up the child, and when you grow, you don't depart from it.
Okay, so bringing up children ultimately in the word of God, also the sex education is very important. These are ways we can help, some of the few ways we can help prevent teenage pregnancy. On that note, we end this edition of Youth Corner. Thank you so much for joining us. I've been here with Lord Lugard Webu, Atobon Fo Jr., and Samuel Asabre Frempon. Thank you for listening.
Is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope. If you need further information or study materials on issues we have discussed, please write to Adventist World Radio Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email through radio@vvu.edu.gh. Or better still, you can call us on +233 3070 51 058 or +233 2087 04 532. If our lines are busy, don't give up. Just keep on trying, for we are expecting your calls, emails, and letters.
AWR, Voice of Hope, we will bring you joy. Keep hope alive.
AWR, Voice of Hope.
The only way to multiply happiness is to draw closer to God through His Word. It is now time for Moment of Truth.
Watching for you.
Beloved in the Lord, we want to welcome you to Moment of Truth, a time set aside for God to speak to our hearts. Everlasting Father, we give ourselves unto you. We ask for the unctioning of the Holy Spirit upon us. Father, as we speak your words, may you touch hearts with the power of your word. At the end of it all, your name will be glorified. May you come into our discourse, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, as we go into a series, Moses, we're going to look in the first part, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for the life of every individual who walks upon this sand. Many in the world today are living without any hope. Life seems to offer no prospect of any better future for many, mainly because most of us are looking downwards or we are looking backwards instead of looking upward. Whenever we look upward, we will find hope. When we look backwards and from where we are coming from, the poverty in our homes, the seemingly hopeless situation we are coming from, the lack of family support, the conditions of our homes and where we were born sometimes makes our heart beat. When we look back, we often ask, God, have you any purpose for my life? Is there any hope for me? But as we begin to turn our eyes upward, instead of looking backwards, we will see and hear a voice telling us that my thought towards you is a thought of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. So beloved in the Lord, God has better plans for your life. God says, I have a thought of peace for your life, not of evil, to give you a future and an expected end. So God intends to lead us in the path that we desire to go, if we will but look up and surrender our lives unto Him. We are looking at Moses in a series, and the first series says, God has a plan for your life. Moses was born out of time. He was born when a decree had been passed by Pharaoh that all Israeli-born sons must be killed. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. Exodus chapter 1 verse 16. So the decree was passed even before Moses was born. He was born a captive slave. He was born at a time when his parents were in bondage, when Israel were serving as slaves with rigor and their lives were bitter with hard bondage. Exodus chapter 1, 13 to 14. So you could experience the situation, the background from which Moses is coming from, a time where personal freedom was only a word and not an experience. The future seemed so dark, but God was still in control over the lives of his people. So God has a plan for your life. God's power is seen more in hopeless situations. When we look into our Bible in Genesis chapter 28, verse 12 to 15, is an experience about the life of Jacob. Jacob sinned, he deceived the father, and took the blessing that even God has purposed for him. But because he took on the wrong way, he left home a sinner, dejected, hopeless. And the Bible says he went and to sleep in the night, and having a stone as his pillow, and he dreamt, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendant, and also your descendant shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And God said, behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. This was a time when Jacob had sinned. When Jacob's life has gone down very low because he had fallen short of grace. But that was the time God began to proclaim benedictions, blessings upon his head, that I'm going to bless you, I'm going to enlarge you. Why is God doing that? We are seeing the character of God in its purity, in its holiness, in his love towards Eldad. At a time when even we think we are hopeless and useless, the love of God still draws us unto himself and tells us that, look, my thought towards you, the thought of peace, I am not going to leave you alone until I've done what I've spoken about your life. God never spoke this word only for Jacob, but to every child of God who believes that it's not yet over until God says it is over. When you cast your eyes to the poor widow in 1 Kings chapter 17, there you will see the story of a poor widow. 1 Kings 17, verse 8 to 16. This was a hopeless woman in the time of famine, where there was no food in the whole land of Palestine. And this woman, the Bible says, was gathering a couple of sticks that he might go to prepare a little flour that he might eat and to die. This hopeless situation of this woman, who had just a hopeless meal to eat and to die, God had a better plan for her life. It was at this time that God intervened. When all seems to be lost, God sent a man of God, Elijah, go to Zarephath. There I have prepared a widow, and she will provide for you. But that is what God said. But this poor widow says, I have nothing. I have just a little oil in the jar and a little flour, and I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die. That was the situation in which she was, very hopeless one. But in the midst of this hopelessness, God says, you are to provide for my servant Elijah, because God knew what he will be doing. This tells us that God has got power to change every situation of our life. He has planned for us. So Moses was born in a seemingly hopeless situation, which seemed to offer no prospect of any future. But God had better plans for his life. As we continue this series, you're going to see how God lifted up Moses, changed his situation, put him on the higher plane, because God had a better plan. No matter your situation as it is today, listen to me. God has planned for your life. Just surrender your life to him. Believe that he cares for you, and he will change the situation of your life and put you on a higher plane to the glory of God. May he bless you. May he strengthen you. May he quicken you. May he revive you and grant you grace and favor. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. This is your servant, Pastor G.Y. Agbuadu, on Moment of Truth. May God bless you.
This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope. If you need further information or study materials on issues we have discussed, please contact us on Adventist World Radio Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email through radio@vvu.edu.gh. Or better still, you can call us on +233 3070 51058 or +233 2087 04532. If our lines are busy, don't give up. Just keep on trying, for we're expecting your calls, emails, and letters. My dear listener, I believe you have been blessed by our programs. Keep pondering over lessons learned from our magazines to stay blessed. Enjoy the rest of your day. I have been your presenter, Emmanuela Brifumensa. Bye for now.